sure that there were more than four downs run. So they may have run five downs.
Instead of the game being over, it appears that the Redskins get the fifth down.
And the cat is elusive.
He's walking.
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. Fielding the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Snap. Placement. Kick by Hartley. And it is. It is good. It's good. It's good. Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the fifth down. We are coming live to you with 37 seconds left in this game. Cardinals lining up for the onside kick, trying to bring this thing into overtime.
If it's made, this will be the fourth onside kick made this week.
Yeah, after three made prior to the whole season. So, yeah.
And yes, we lifted that from Monday Night Football commentary. So what? It's a great stat.
Come at me, Levy. Bring it on. What you got? All right, everything's lined up. Predators ready to kick. He did a little jumpy thing. I don't know what that's about. Apparently that stretches the leg when you got to kick the ball 10 yards. You know, you want to pull a hammy. And the Rams did not get it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hold on. Let's see. They're pulling people off the pile.
It's deep. So many bodies. It's like the zombies just died.
It's skeeted out. Cardinals got it. All right.
Four.
So in case you're not paying four attention.
Four onside kicks successful.
Cardinals have to make a touchdown with an extra point headed in here to win this game.
Oh my God.
Bring it into overtime. I'm sorry. Don't do that. You're going to get us taken off the air. We probably should turn the volume down and just do our own little commentary here. But
actually, we needed to mute it anyway. But yeah, so here we go.
All right, everyone's.
Oh, and there's Sean McVay with his cocaine eyes.
Yeah, he's staring hard, dude. I mean, that's what he does.
That dude has the most intense eyes I've ever seen.
All right. So they line it up. I mean, a sack and this game's pretty much over. You know, you don't get out of bounds, game's pretty much over. You know, you'll have time for a few more plays, but it's like you're down to the wire with 34 seconds left. It's
no sacks.
Kyler's running.
Oh my goodness. Look at him go.
And he got out of bounds.
Right. All at right. The 35. Okay.
Oh, there was a holding call. Oh, poor little guy. He looks so mad. Yep, holding on the Cardinals. So let's line up and do it all again 10 yards later.
First and 20.
I think that number is just arbitrary at this point. Like, you're going four downs at this point. It doesn't matter, right? True. I mean, I know you wanted to make it as easy as possible to get a first down, but. Yeah, it's definitely a hold there.
Yeah. You have that hand inside the pads. You're gonna get that call.
Yeah, they got the hole, but they missed the face mask and a couple of PIs. It's something about the Rams. They don't get that pass interference call. All right, here we go. Play is whistled dead. We're going the wrong way. I mean,
ball start.
All right, good job. Good job, Arizona.
This is not like last week where we got it and it was like the onside kick and it didn't happen. And then it was like, all right, let's go on.
Right, all right. Well, I mean, we took a shot. You know, we were going to see what was going to happen. But, that was pretty close, man. I don't know.
All right.
All right, now first and 25. I mean, we don't really know enough about these guys. It's kind of like a Manning cast going on since ESPN didn't play him this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, you just got to start ticking away the yards here. You can't get it all back in one, and you can't take the sack. Yeah. I mean, they gave him the middle of the field, but they really needed to get it. I'm sure they're going to clock it here.
No. You just run your play.
All right, well, looks like it's going to be All right, Collar escapes. No time. Oh, and he's down. That's the game. No flags on the play. Rams won. Which, you know, let's start off with that this week. Let's just go right into it since the Rams won. Let's just start with the picks for the week.
All right. So this went well.
Yeah, there's a reason why I want to just jump right on into that. Hold on. Bring it up. What did you do? Oh, hold on. You got to go add in my points for my – you know, it doesn't matter. I lost. Just leave that part alone.
No, because you see, I get to flex on at least something this week.
Yeah, every week. You beat me in fantasy because you pick your teams you're going to win that's going to help you in this fantasy portion of
you
it.
You pick my games.
I know, but you pick teams you that are going to do the best games. For you. All right, anyway. All right, so in case you haven't been paying attention, our week 14 picks, I had Seattle over Houston, Denver over Detroit, the Rams over Arizona, and Dallas over the football team. Which means the captain went 4-0.
Yep.
4-0.
Yeah, he did. I had Carolina over Atlanta, Tampa over Buffalo, Minnesota over Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati over San Francisco. 2-2 for me. He's better at football this week.
Yeah, so that leaves us with I'm 31-21 on the season.
And I'm 27-25.
All right.
There so I got go. A little catching up to do. Don't worry, 4-0 next week is gonna happen. All right, so our fantasy stats on the other side of this, we'll do that toward the back end of the show because that was just ugly the other way around. So we're going to go to the scoreboard real quick. All right, so we just saw the Rams knocking off the Cardinals 30-23. Steelers lose to the Vikings in the exact game you'd expect it to be with the Steelers and the Vikings. 24-22, Browns take out the Ravens, who are on the injured reserve. Yeah. The whole team's injured reserve. They just IR. Who are they starting? IR. Titans over the Jaguars, blanking them out, 20-0. Chiefs over the Raiders, 48-9. We'll talk about that later. Saints beat the Jets. 30-9.
To end the five-game skid.
Yeah, to end our five-game skid, which is fantastic. Cowboys beat the football team 27-20. Falcons over the Panthers 29-21. Seahawks beat the Texans 33-13. Broncos 38 over the Detroit Lions 10. Chargers beat the Giants 37-21. 49ers beat the Bengals 26-23 in a last-minute overtime, it was overtime, just beautiful overtime finish. Bucks and Bills also went to OT, 33-27. Buccaneers come out on top. Packers and Bears, Packers 30-45, Bears 30.
Game was closer than the score gives you.
Yes, it was a very competitive game in the first half, but just on the back end, you know, Green Bay able to turn it up. So going to the games. We just saw the Rams and the Cardinals, so to me that was just a good game. I can't argue the entertainment value of that game.
Yeah, the Rams really stepped it up, especially with losing your starting running back for the game, cornerback, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And forgot who else. They lost a couple players to COVID right before the whole thing kicked off. So, I mean, they had to do some last-minute roster updates and get everything going. But Rams played a good game. I mean, you're starting to see what they could be. You know, they're going back to run first before they trying to pass the ball, mm-hmm. which might make Odell's dad unhappy. But it's going to win them some games and hopefully get them into the playoffs.
I mean, you might as well have that team – get you to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're pretty much going to get there. By what fashion, we'll see. Rams are starting to come together. I mean, Cardinals are still a good team. With this loss, though, they fall to the number three seed, and the Packers move up to the number one. So, guess we're going to see the Packers back in there again this year. So,
yeah. Kyler Murray's still in the MVP contention, I think. And this is a tough one for the Cardinals, losing at home like this. The Rams have the Seahawks next week. So I'm not saying it's a trap game, but I'm saying it's a trap game. I think Seattle's just looking to mess some people over right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Seattle might be playing for a draft pick.
Yeah, well, they're going to need it after they have to get rid of Russell Wilson. So let's talk about the other game, the Thursday night game. I like this one, the Steelers and the Vikings. So the Vikings almost blow it in the fourth quarter, and the Steelers almost win it in the fourth quarter. That's what these two teams have done all year. So it was a perfect game for
them. I mean, the Steelers don't know how to play four quarters of football. I mean, first half they came out, you know, did absolutely nothing. You know, they scored their first points towards the end of the third quarter and then 21 in the fourth, you know, to make it really interesting.
I mean, Big Ben came out pretty good, 308, three touchdowns and a pick. Kirk Cousins was 216 for 2-2, but Dalvin Cook just lit.
I mean, 27 carries, 205 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yeah, if you add in his receiving, he had more total yards than Kirk Cousins had passing yards.
Well, I mean, he almost had that on just the ground. You didn't have to add in the receiving.
Right, but I mean, that 17 yards puts him over the top. Yeah. So, I mean, that puts him at like 222 versus 216.
Yeah, they were just gashing.
It was silly. And for all of you who
live under a rock and not paying attention to anything football, you know, everybody's coming down hardcore on Chase Claypool for, you know, signaling for the first down instead of
handing the ball off to the ref
and going doing his own thing, acting like he's never been there before. And I don't know what it's about the Steelers. I don't know what does this to them, but for whatever reason, receivers lose their freaking mind there and you get what you get.
Yeah, I mean, Deontay Johnson is their best receiver. And it normally shows in the stat line. This game, it was Claypool. But he's the best receiver they have, and he's the most probably the more mature than Chase Claypool, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just going back on you had Antonio Brown lose his mind, Juju, and now Chase Claypool. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just.
And look, Najee Harris, he's paying off for him big time as a rookie. You know, even in this game, he still had 20 carries for 94 yards and a score. He's been the rock of that team. He's been the anchor that they built around this year.
Yeah, but
I mean, Big Ben is just, if you can't get a touchdown in the first half of the game, you know, that's a Saints type game right there.
Yeah, but I feel like the Steelers are going to be in for a long haul because, I mean, you're moving on from your quarterback, right? And we all know that that's one of the hardest positions to refill.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, there's not quarterbacks everywhere. So it's one of the hardest positions to keep going over and over again. It's not every team that can go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers or from even Tom Brady. And right now it's looking like Mac Jones is going to be that guy.
From Tom Brady to Mac Jones.
Yeah, in New England. I mean, they had that year off, and it looks like Mac Jones is going to be that guy. But, I mean, that's just interesting.
You can go from Jared Goff to – you could say Jared Goff to Matthew Stafford, but that's just a swap.
Yeah.
As far as next generation, I mean, like, even the Chiefs, they didn't really have anything until Patrick Mahomes showed up.
Yeah.
So, it's – who was their quarterback?
Alex Smith. Was quarterback
now for Smith.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was consistent enough. You know, he's always been a great middle of the road game managing quarterback.
It
sounds bad when you say that, but in the reality of it, that's the guy that can get you into the playoffs if you don't have a superstar quarterback.
He's not that guy that can win you a Super Bowl.
No.
And that's what teams are after right now. I mean, that's why Kansas City went and signed up Mahomes for 10 years.
You know? Yeah, because they know he's going to be – that's going to be his shelf life. You know, that's his entire playing career.
Yeah.
They front load it, so on the back end, they can still have some room. Overall, this was a really good game coming down to it. And, you know
– it was very interesting. If you turned it off at halftime like I almost did, you missed out on a good one in the end. So
– yep.
But go ahead and – wipe that one off.
All right, we're done with that guy. Ravens Browns. Oh boy.
Yeah. So
Cleveland has the highest IR rate in the league, which means they have the most.
You mean Baltimore? Sorry, you said.
That's what I said. Cleveland. I said Baltimore has the highest IR rate in the league, which means they have more players that get injured than any other team. What can you say? They're trying to make a playoff push. Lamar Jackson goes down with an ankle injury over this weekend, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a multi-week injury for him. But they were already depleted in the cornerback spot. They're down to like practice squad corners.
Yeah.
The receiving core hasn't been the greatest thing for them. I mean, their biggest bright spot has been Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting
they remember to throw Brown. To. They yeah. remember to throw to this year. so.
But I mean, Cleveland's still playing that. We win one, we lose one, we win one, we lose one.
They're still
and
like.
Just when you think they're going to do something and turn the corner, they take five steps back and you're back to seeing what we saw from them previous in the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really need to rely more on their running game. You know, I mean, Baker's still dealing with shoulder injury. I know it's his non-throwing shoulder, but that's still, it does a lot to you. And then even, I mean, he has an ankle issue. I mean, he's not as mobile as he was in prior seasons. But, I mean, I still say that the Browns have, like, a good future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're just almost there right now, but they got a really good future headed for them. So,
I mean, look, the Ravens ended up winning this. I mean, losing this, you know, toward the end of the game. I mean, they came back and they were right there at the end, and you just couldn't.
They just couldn't do enough. You bought in what? Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
Whatever his name
Taylor
was.
Hundley.
Yeah. Whatever.
Who cares?
Tyler Hundley. Tyler Hundley. We were completely wrong. whatever his name is.
Mine started with a T. I was close.
Yeah. I mean, without Lamar Jackson, they just don't. They're not going to have a lot there because he's really the what's left of their offense is all on him.
But he's the way he plays. He's going to Cam Newton very quickly.
Andrew, that's possible. Headed to the Giants, but I would like to see the Saints make a good push for him because I think that would be
the
right move for the Saints
and for Russell Wilson.
You know, would be the head to. Russell Wilson.
Now, we'll say this. Russell Wilson going to the Giants is going to give him the best complement of receivers.
Yes.
Because they literally have two sets of starting receivers. They're all hurt. But they have the most starting receivers in the league.
Yeah.
I really hope the Saints make a play for him. I think it's going to be very tough.
I mean, we're going to have to make it. We're going to have to pack some first-round picks, and you're going to have to send off.
There's going to be a lot of restructuring and a lot of other stuff that has to happen.
Mike Thomas will probably have to head out there. So
who knows?
But, you know, I would like to see him in the Saints because I think that would be a good spot. And that would lead us into the next 5-6 years of our team.
Yeah.
Instead of what a lot of people say and go after Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, I guess you one, maybe two.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, how old is Russell Wilson? 34?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you've got
a behind
you
had five or six line, years. Yeah. You got a good 5-6 years with him.
I mean, but he doesn't run. He's not a running quarterback. You know, he's a passer. But he can still scurry. And he can scurry better than Drew.
Yeah, and I think the Giants would actually be a really good landing spot for him.
Yeah, if it's not the Saints, it'll probably be the Giants or, heaven forbid, the Jets.
And that's even if he moves.
He still has a chance to stay there. And they showed you that this weekend, right? I mean, yeah, you beat the Texans. It's like not that, but the Texans still play with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
They're not as bad as their record indicates. They're not much better, but it's just they're putting a team out there that's just kind of hodgepodge, a little bit of a Frankenstein's monster, but they're still to some extent being competitive. But I mean, Seattle just turned it up. Russell had two touchdowns, 260 in the air. You know, he scurried for a little bit, but Rashad Penny really came on for them in the running game.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the Seahawks are just at that transition point, right? I mean, they went through their strong times with the Legion of Boom, and that just disintegrated. And then they've never really done anything to help Russell Wilson stay upright.
Yes,
right.
Well,
you
after Lynch,
spend money, you
after
have to
Marshawn
spend money.
Lynch left,
yeah, but you have to spend money on an offensive line, and they never really did that, right?
Yeah,
they made a few moves here and there, but they never bought in a solid offensive line. And you have a talent like Russell Wilson who throw the ball all over the field if you give him the opportunity there and do
this,
it.
This week it was Tyler Lockett. You know, previously it's usually DK Metcalf. And I mean, Gerald Everett's been in the game a little bit, you know, and you've got all these guys, but again, it's just having that line is what he's never had.
Yeah. Which is why New Orleans is a good location for him to hit because we have an awesome offensive line when healthy, which we haven't seen
and
that all this season.
One of the most creative play callers in the league in Sean Payton.
All right, let's go Cowboys, Washington.
Yes.
All right. So, Andrew, I want to get back to what you said at the end about the NFC East contenders, pretenders. And you're saying you feel like Dallas is a pretender. And I almost want to agree with you, but I feel like they're the most real team in this division. I think it's a division of all pretenders, but they're the realest out of all of them.
I mean, they're the shakiest 9-4 out of all the teams that have like nine wins.
Yeah, they've had a lot of close wins.
Close wins, a lot of close losses too. So, yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
they don't have a consistent running game. Ezekiel Elliott is just not a
he's a shadow of his former self. I'm gonna stick with the word bust. Meaning he had a long carry of 7. I mean, you don't get a whole lot.
He's not that running back that you can lean on in those critical X and short or even X and long. You know, like where he's going to be a threat coming out of the backfield. Like a Dalvin Cook, like an Alvin Kamara, like Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting that from Elliott. And I don't know what it is, whether it's the way, you know, the blocking scheme, the offensive line there in Dallas. I mean, they're pretty good. They give Dak a bunch of time. It just doesn't seem like he can find any holes and he's not making any plays himself. Yeah,
they're a good pass block, maybe not a good run block. But I mean, Dallas has a lot of pieces. And should be a lot better than they really are.
Well, I mean, look, they've got Cooper back, Lamb is back, Gallup. So, I mean, they got all their pieces back this week. And, you know, Prescott made a couple of mistakes. Washington made some good plays. So, I mean, you got 2 picks out of it. And you kept the football team kept in the game. But Heinicke goes out with a concussion. Heinicke goes down with, what was it, a knee or an ankle?
Yeah.
It was knee.
Leg.
Sorry. Concussion was scary, Terry. And, you know, he'll be out for a little
something
bit.
Happened in this game, too. I mean, like, towards the end of it, Washington kicked onside kick. Dallas guy touched it, and Washington grabbed it and ran it for a touchdown.
Yep.
But they called it back because you can't advance an onside kick at that point. And I honestly think that rule is bogus, especially if the
that's receiving like, it should be treated
team
like a muff punt. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't advance a muff either. But I mean, if a receiving team touches the ball, I think it's fair game, and
it should be alive. Right. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not on the competition committee. Maybe they'll look at that and look at changing some things in that next year. So
foosball again.
We
yes,
always
Emil.
Talk at foosball, man.
That's
what
foosball.
We do.
That's all we. That's all we can do.
Thanks for joining us, though, Cuz.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, Dallas is one of those teams, you know. They're the best of the pretenders out of that entire league. I mean, that entire division. So,
So that's the Cowboys. That's the football team. You know, football team is still vying for that number 7 seed in a just packed bottom middle tier there.
Yeah,
almost 6 and 7 teams that are just roving
that mud
the NFC
of the bottom teams in the league.
Bears Packers move on to that real quick. Was really close for the first half. Chicago did their best to make it a game. Justin Fields is showing what he's capable of.
Yeah, that second quarter was
the kid
nuts
had,
in that
the
game.
The kid had 9 carries for 74 yards on top of 244 passing, 2 touchdowns. Now, he had 2 picks, and they were ugly, as his picks tend to be.
Inopportune moments.
But he's learned, and then, you know, some penalties and things like that. But Green Bay just, they were able to continue putting it together, continue winning. And I think after tonight, watching the Cardinals, I think Green Bay is still a little bit better overall. I still think the Cardinals and the Rams are both really good teams and could beat Green Bay. But right now, that team is just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, Green Bay is the number one seed at this point in time. But I mean, we still have, what, four games?
Yeah, we got 4
so
games.
So a lot of things can happen. But, I mean, that game, the score got a little crazy at the end, but it was definitely closer than it was.
Bengals 49ers. I had Cincy coming out of this one. San Francisco just continues to surprise this year.
yeah, they're one of those 7-6 teams, you know, fighting for that last spot, or, you know,
they're in the sixth seed right now.
They're in the sixth seed. They're still in that bottom area, still duking it out.
And I mean, it's very possible that it's going to come down. So you got San Francisco and Rams as the last game of the regular season. So it's very possible those two, that game could actually be for that.
Yeah, if San Francisco was going to make
the playoffs. For that fifth seed, yeah. So, I mean, if San Francisco keeps winning, I mean, they've got the defense to do it. They've got the running game to do it. They were out their leading rusher for this game, so they started Jeff Wilson. Didn't really have – they had 100 yards on the ground, not a lot. But Jimmy G turned it up with almost 300 yards passing, a couple touchdowns. Kittle continues to be the – great tight end he is. 13 receptions, a 150, and a touchdown. Again, if you had him in fantasy, you're doing great.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, when it comes down to it, Cincinnati just gave the game away in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, they tied it up to bring it in overtime. When you got that momentum headed into overtime, you should be able to pull that over. And they only were able to pull the 3 points. And then they get the three
points, and then San Francisco gets the ball. They drive 75 yards, and they score the touchdown. And it was a beautiful touchdown. I mean, right on the edge, toe dragging right over the pylon. Yeah. It was just it didn't look like a touchdown at first, and then you go back and you watch the replay, and like, oh yeah, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, just San Francisco doing an amazing job finding ways to win games. Defense is keeping them in the whole time. I mean, when you got a Bosa,
yeah. I mean, he was definitely there. Let's go ahead and do Bills Bucks, and then we can go on to the Saints after.
Yeah, so Bills Bucks.
This is another one.
Another OT, you know. So, I mean, you've got how many OTs this week?
Two. Almost had a third.
Yeah.
But you had two. I mean, the Bills Bucks, I mean, the Bucks came out strong. You know, they were up going in that, you know, going into, what, 24, headed into the second half, and then. For whatever reason, the Bills defense finally showed up and just shut
them down. And the Bills offense finally got in the rhythm.
Yeah.
And I mean, you come down to a tie at the end.
I mean, I know you don't see it, but I mean, Josh Allen ran for 109 yards, and even Devin Singletary only had 52 yards, but those all came within like the third quarter.
Yeah. And they were huge carries. I mean, so if you look at it, let's see, where is the tide turn here?
Right. Pretty much.
So by the time you get to the half, you know, the only points they got a field goal about 4 minutes into the game, Buffalo. And then after that, 4 minutes into the second half. And after that, Tampa just goes off, right? I mean, they had touchdown, 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 and then one interception, but ended up in just a punt, right?
Yeah.
So the second quarter comes in. And then Buffalo is just able to score and keeps them in it, gets to overtime. So I watching this game, I was really impressed with the way the Bills came back. Again, it looks like they're still trying to figure it out. Not having a running back is a problem for them.
I feel like that's an offensive line issue, though. Because I mean,
Singletary has never impressed me. There's always been the hype around Zach Moss that he's never manifested, right?
So I mean, Josh Allen's runs weren't like
right.
Most of them weren't designed; they were getting away from people and making.
Yeah, but that's what he does. That's how he plays.
I understand that, but I mean, that's an offensive line issue, though. But
he's the guy that's Lamar Jackson's. You know, those two mirror each other in a lot of ways, except Lamar is relying more on his rushing game, where Allen is kind of using the rushing game as his outlet.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they should invest money into their offensive line too, or Josh Allen's not going
to
be around.
Yeah. And they need to get a little bit of better. I'd say draft a running back in this first or second round this year.
Yeah. I mean, a very entertaining game.
But I mean, it definitely was the night games have been very good this year overall. And this was a fantastic night game. I'm actually looking forward to the Saturday games next week. And I think
my wife's not, but
well, tough.
All right, so
sorry, Mary. Love you. All right,
let's go ahead and let's finish off with the Saints. We got a little something to cheer for.
We end the five-game skid with a really a slow start again. Still got to fix that. It's hard to do, I know, with the team we have. Very hard to do. But if we can go into next year, finishing out these last four games, scoring 10, 17, 21 in the first half,
yeah,
it's going to be a lot better for the team. It's going to be a lot better for the guys.
Yeah, when you're not playing from behind as much, it's easier to keep
and ball. it gives your defense a rest.
And it also doesn't make you one-dimensional, which with this team is actually, with Taysom Hill at quarterback, is one-dimensional.
I mean, the guy was their second leading rusher. You know, with Alvin Kamara out, having Taysom Hill quarterback, with Alvin Kamara and no Mark Ingram, having Taysom Hill is actually a good thing, because now you've got that second running back. And Taysom Hill, and we saw it this week, he pulls two defenders, because you have to have the safety,
yeah,
and the linebacker ready to go for when he rushes, and then that pulls an extra guy out of coverage.
Yeah, they do have to treat him like a runner, so yeah, they have to keep a spy on him all the time. And it's the same thing that they do with Lamar Jackson. They always keep a spy on him. But, I mean, his passing stats are just not anything to really shake a stick at. And I don't know if that's him 100% or the fact that our receivers, I mean, you're looking at it. He threw to Nick Van Nett six times, caught three balls. He threw to Marquez Callaway four times, he caught two balls. You know, Traquan Smith caught three for three. Good job, Traquan. Way to do it. But, I mean, it's just when you're throwing and they're only catching half of what you're tossing, I mean, that gives you problems in the game.
Right? Yeah, and I mean,
and that's the thing we've been facing
Taysom,
all season.
Taysom is not – I feel like I would rather him – okay, here's my question. Starting this week to the end of the season, who's going to have the better stats, Taysom Hill or Lamar Jackson?
Well, I mean, with Lamar Jackson with one foot messed up, I would say Taysom Hill running.
Yeah.
But, I mean, stat-wise, I mean, it's Lamar Jackson's definitely the better quarterback.
I mean, there's
no comparison on that at all. I mean, Taysom Hill's a running back. I mean, I'm sorry. He's an offensive specialist, right?
He plays football.
Yeah. You know, my wife even gave the nickname of football. Like, what position do you play? Football. Because he goes out and he can do it all. Right. So, I mean, it's just his thing. But he's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. So everyone complaining about his contract that if he gets so many starts, he gets this extra money. They did that on purpose. He's never going to get that extra money. Right.
Yeah.
We're going to bring somebody in this year and we're going to use him like we've done previously if everybody can stay healthy.
And I mean, they might give Ian Book a shot toward the end of the year. We'll see.
Depending on what happens in the next two.
I mean, honestly, you know? If we have a chance at the playoffs, Taysom is going to start all the way.
Yeah.
If not, I think we just give Ian Book a shot. I mean,
we're still not out.
Again, the Saints are one of those, what is it, like five or six teams that are all 6-7?
Yeah, all fighting for that number
seven.
Right now,
they're all playing for that number seven spot. The Jets, on the other hand, look, Zach Wilson came back, 202 yards. I mean, the Saints' defense is tough. You know, it's still, even at hurt, we're still a good defense.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't pull any. Any turnovers, though? So,
no,
just,
they actually protected the ball pretty well.
Unless they fumbled, I didn't see any fumbles.
Their best receiver went on IR for three games, so he'll be down. And, I mean, it's the Jets, right? You're not sure what
I mean, look, I'm excited that the five-game losing streak's over, right? It gives you momentum. It gives you some confidence. It's a little confidence builder. You know, maybe that can develop into something next week that can –
keep Tampa it going next a little week. Harder.
We always play Tampa hard, even when it's, you know, like this.
I think this is the defense's game to really come into. And we
got Tommy's number. I mean, he throws interceptions against us. So
we do.
We have his number.
And I think Taysom can give the Bucs defense enough pause.
Yeah. I mean, we might be able to do something. I don't know. I mean, let's just see what happens. Let's see. Right? I think if we go 3-1 out of these last four games, which is a good possibility, because, I mean, go back to the schedule. I'm sorry. I know we got Tampa, and then we finish off with
Dolphins, Panthers, Falcons.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can theoretically go 3-1 in these last four games.
And be at 9-8.
And then that would put you at 9-8, which puts you in good position to go into 7th seed. But
I just – it's going to be hard going out on the stretch home and – with the way the Panthers are imploding with Cam and no Christian McCaffrey now.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back in the way we remember him fondly.
I think he's lost the last 12 games that he started.
I believe
for the Panthers.
I believe so. And then you count all his losses in New England.
Right.
And I mean, the guy's won, what, 5 games in 2 years?
Yeah. His career is done. I think it's time for everyone just to move on from Cam and stop even bringing his name up. Yeah. You know, but you're still going to have those guys. Oh, go get Cam Newton. He's on the couch. That's where he belongs.
Well, like I said, the only thing good about Cam Newton being on the couch is we don't have to hear about Colin Kaepernick.
Well, I mean, you still hear his name.
I don't care. And nobody's talking about him starting now. So you got that, and then you go. It's just you go to the whole week, right? It was a pretty good week. I mean, you had your blowouts and stuff. The Giants put up a good fight against the Chargers, but it wasn't enough. They were able to come back, but I mean, that was just garbage time.
Yeah, Chargers are another team that's in 1 week, out the next.
And they're going to
be in the hunt for the playoffs. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's.
But look, the Broncos, are all of a sudden at 7-6,
once again, let's fight for the brakes. They just beat the Lions, so.
But I mean, they've had
who are now officially eliminated from the playoffs, but after this loss this week, so Lions no longer have a chance to make it. Sorry, guys, the stars didn't align to make it happen.
No, but. You're in a good spot for next year. You got a great coach.
If they stick around with him,
they're gonna. Oh yeah,
I hope so.
Oh yeah,
I think they're
only,
in a good position.
I think the only rookie coach is gonna get fired. I think you're right with Urban Meyer.
Yeah,
I just don't see his style's not working there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike Zimmer's going out of the Vikings, and I think you're gonna lose.
Not if they get in the playoffs. They make the playoffs, he stays.
So Mike Zimmer's going out of the Vikings. I think Urban Meyer's headed out the door. Out of Jacksonville, I don't really see a whole lot of.
Robert Saleh's going to stick around in New York for.
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of carousel happening this year. I mean, last year they fired like 8 coaches, so you have a lot of rookie head coaches, and so I don't see coming down.
Joe Brady did get fired from Carolina.
Yeah, but they kept Matt Rule, so
yeah, that makes
you don't
sense.
Know if that's going to.
But that's good news for LSU because come on back, Joe.
Yeah, we'll
come
see.
On back.
I mean, Brian Kelly got to figure out what he's doing there. But, I mean, that's it for the rundown. Let's go ahead and give them our fantasy stats, and then we can talk about that last little thing we wanted to
discuss. Yeah, so fantasy stats. So, real quick, Captain had Dak, Javonte Williams, Sonny Michel, DK Metcalf, CeeDee Lamb, Dalton Schultz, Ezekiel Elliott in his flex, the Rams defense, and Greg Zuerlein for his kicker. He ends it up with 85 fantasy points, rounding up.
Yeah, thanks. And I ended up every point I can get.
I ended up with, and see, like, this is where I'm starting to pick my weekly picks for a fantasy team now, because we can only build the fantasy team out of the teams we pick for the week. So having picked Carolina, Tampa, Cincy, and Minnesota, ended up with Brady, Madison. Yes, I started Madison because I didn't pay attention to right before kickoff when the cook was like, oh, I'm going to play even though I just separated my shoulder last week.
I almost called him, let him know, but I'm like, man, I need all the advantages I can get.
Yeah, you would have gotten beat even worse. So Madison, Fournette, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Gronky, Joe Mixon, Carolina's defense, and McPherson. I ended up with $120. So...
He's 3-0.
I am now 3-0 in fantasy.
So
that's the most important one. Our picks for next week, I've got Vegas over Cleveland. Jacksonville is going to get another win over the Houston Texans. The football team is going to continue their shot at the wild card, beating the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Vikings are going to beat the Bears. Keeping their playoff hopes alive.
And I have New England over Indy. I have Tennessee over Pittsburgh. I have Cincinnati over Denver. And I have the Rams over Seattle. So
we'll see who does that. And then finally, our dum-dum.
Well, not finally.
Okay, before we get to that. So we came up on completions. They were talking about it during the game here about Kyler Murray and his completion. So we were looking at single-season completion records, okay? I'll put this link in the show notes. This will be great. So if you look at the highest single-season leaders, right, Kyler Murray comes in at number 3 with his this year. He's at 72.7, okay? Other notable names in here, believe it or not, Sam Bradford somehow makes it into it in 2016 when he's with the Vikings.
No.
Okay. That was like the last, I think it was last year before he retired, got hit and hurt and finally and then, just broke. Tagovailoa last year at 71%, almost 71%, 70.9. Aaron Rodgers at number 8. And Derek Carr actually made it into the list at number 12 with his 2019 performance of 70.4.
And then you got to go back in time to 1982.
Ken Anderson, we were
still babies.
Yeah, yeah. We were still babies. And he ends up there. But if you noticed that we left 6 spots open, the reason those 6 spots are open is they are all filled by the same man.
Number 9, Drew Brees.
1, 2, 4, 6. Wait, no. 1, 2, 4, 6. 10, 9, and 11. So Drew Brees has 6 of the top 12 seasons in completion percentage. You know, this is a stat that Drew will never lose.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to go down unless it basically comes to where you can never touch a quarterback, which is where we're going.
We're almost there. Give it a few more seasons. But
you know, you're going to have that. So
we just wanted to throw that in because it was interesting.
Fun stat of the week.
So, yeah. And then we do our
Dumb Dumb Stupid Head Award.
Dumb Dumb Stupid Head. Dumb. You're dumb and stupid head. Dumb stupid
so
head.
Dumb and stupid.
Silly. Dumb.
You're stupid.
You're dumb.
Yeah, so the Raiders thought it would be a good idea to
go to Kansas City and warm up and then do kind of a little stompy dance on the
Chiefs
logo in the middle of the field. Now, for those of us who remember Tommy Tuberville when he was the coach of Auburn, there was a victory where he and the entire Auburn squad got onto the middle of the eye at Tiger Stadium, lit cigars, and celebrated. They got fined for that, by the way.
Yeah.
And so this was similar in disrespect. And the Kansas City Chiefs proceed to beat the tar out of them. They got 9 points, but it was like mercy points.
Yeah, they took offense to that. You know, to go back to the last dance with Jordan, you know.
Yeah. And Tyron Matthew was like the best with it. I'll post his comments in the show notes too. It's so
freaking funny. I mean, you can't do something like that and then get blanked. Because, I mean, 9 points, but that was all garbage time. So, there you go. Raiders, that's for you.
All right, guys. Well, this has been week 14. And the 5th down.
That's it. That's all we got. Over. Yeah, join us again later on for the OT on the podcast page. And check us out at Apple, Spotify, Google. That's the main spots we're at. Also, Anchor. So, you know, if you enjoy what we got,
Andrew,
pass it on to other people. Let them know that we're here. Thank you all for joining us tonight. You know, the 4 of you that popped in at moments in time.
We love you guys.
That number's going up, so, you know, keep it going. So
our post-live watch is really high, though.
But
all right, guys. Well, thank you all. We'll see you next week.
Deuces. That shit.